sitting down.
Good morning. Good morning, honorable members. Good morning to our esteemed presenter, Ms. Anne Malan. Good morning, esteemed ladies and gentlemen. What we are here about today is nice, short and sweet. What are the benefits of these memorandums of understanding? What is there to us as South Africans? That is the short question that the government will distinct will address. We have had a memorandum of understanding with Kenya, and then on oversight visit we found out that Mpumalanga, Mozambique and Swaziland have their triangle, what do they call it?
Silent.
around tourism issues. We do not know whether it is restricted to tourism only or it has got other distinct economic activities as well. And then you go to the game park. We do not know whether that is limited to environment and conservation. That is Zimbabwe, Mozambique, and South Africa. I don't know what it is called. On South African soil, it is Kruger National Park, but the overall park, I do not know.
Transfamily Park.
Transfamily, that's a bad name for such an important park. You give a dog a name. Then we have also the draft Mexican South African Memorandum of Understanding, which we found out on our oversight visit. The Kenyan one, how it performs, whether we are not going to be affected if something political is happening, say, in the neighboring countries, because that is also a risk. I mean, there could be benefits, there could be risks. How do we plan to manage those risks, where there are risks? Are we having an effective communication or public relations management system when we have that case? For it is as a country, Mexico has got a very good communication management system, and they've got a short message. They say Mexico is the country you want to know. So when you talk about time, they say, no, don't have time. People have found out. And then they show you their advent. They show you celebrities saying how nice it was to be in Cancun, how nice it was to be in Apache room, and so forth and so on. So it's these things that, in as much as they are benefits, they are risks. And then how do we manage those risks? For instance, in Kenya, they had an election. And everybody started slaughtering the opposition. We don't know what happened. We don't have the debate. But it gave Kenya a sort of a no-no as a tourism destination. What do we do in those cases? How do we manage those things? Over to you, Ms. Anne Malan. Life is not so simple, it's complex. But that is why you are paid. You did to us, but you are not going to be paid. Over to you.
thanks so much, dear honourable members, for the opportunity. We were requested to present the agreement that we signed with three countries to the committee. But if you have any other questions, we can also deal with that. And those that I can't deal with, we can give written response. So as I said, is that... The purpose is to brief this committee on the agreement that we signed with Ghana, Zimbabwe, and the Sisu in the last year or so. the objective of all the agreements, or most of the agreements that we sign with other countries, is to foster cooperation between the two countries, between the two parties, specifically in the development of, and promotion of tourism, and then for mutual benefit of both parties, and then for the indigenous people in the country. We signed the three agreements, Ghana in August last year, and then the one to City in Zimbabwe during Indaba in this year. And these are the three agreements that we submitted to Parliament recently for ratification. The broad areas of cooperation in the agreements, what we usually do is we highlight broad areas of cooperation, and then the next step will be the deeper, and I will get to that. So the broad areas of cooperation between us and the countries include the exchange of tourism information. In many cases it has to do with information, statistics, when it comes to us and our bordering countries, how much do we receive from their side and the other way around, exchanging that information, sharing of information. And then marketing and promotion, how do we deal with that? Cooperation between destination management organizations, that's through South African Tourism and their marketing agency. Where can we work together when it comes to investment promotion? In Africa, there's a big role that the IBC play when it comes to investment promotion and the specific program for Africa, in their tourism unit. Capacity building at the moment is the biggest part of these agreements, and in many of the instances from South Africa to the other countries, actually information was gained. It relates to, in many cases, capacity building in terms of quality assurance, in terms of the grading council, how do they operate, how do they do their things, South African tourism, how do they do their market segmentation. That is how do they compile the tourism satellite account. So that is where the capacity building usually centers around. Studying tourists, the different countries want to learn from each other, so we facilitate these study tours. And then, specifically with our bordering neighbors, is the cross-border movement of travelers. And this also includes then tourist guiding across borders, and how do we deal with that, and how do we harmonize those aspects. As I said, the first step for us usually is after the decision that there will be an agreement signed between the two countries. We enter into negotiations, we enter into a drafting of the text, and as soon as the agreement are signed by the two countries, the next step, and that in many cases are the most important step, is for the two parties then to agree on the implementation plan. Because, you know, the agreement highlights high-level things, but what are we going to do practically in the next year, in the next 2 years, in the next 3 years? What are the things that we're going to do? So this is where we are in terms of these three agreements. The agreements have been signed. We are busy working with the senior officials in drafting the text in terms of the implementation plan. Listening to the new Minister of Tourism, that's part of the changes. But fortunately, that, you know, when agreements are signed between countries, it's usually honored by new governments as well. So the agreement still takes or still implemented. It's just that we need to build relationships with the new minister and staff members. So with the three countries, we are currently working on operational level in terms of implementation plan. What we have done from our side as the first step in the implementation of the agreement is to invite all three countries to the National Tourism Career Expo in September. So invitations have been sent to the countries, invited. We are waiting their confirmation. So that will be our first step in building this capacity through the VFA in East London in September. Once implementation plan is set and agreed to by the two countries,
what we then do is we put together a joint technical committee, and that committee then, between the two countries, and that committee then ensures the implementation of the plan and gives progress to the countries on a regular basis. In the implementation plan, what we do is we highlight key priorities, what are the key issues that the two countries want to implement first through this agreement, and those are then given priority when it comes to the implementation plan. What we see when it comes to specifically with agreements in Africa is that many of the countries request similar things. They request capacity building when it comes to grading. They request capacity building when it comes to promotion and segmentation. They request information and capacity building in terms of compilation of certain statistics. So our thinking at the moment is to get a situation where we can bring the countries together for a week and share this kind of information with all the countries and not one by one. We think that would be, we are sure that would be more effective. So that is where we are in terms of the three agreements. We signed the agreement, we submitted it to Parliament for ratification. We are working on the implementation plan, putting together joint committees for the monitoring and implementation of the plan, and then we report on those regularly. In terms of other agreements that we have in Africa, I'm sure just to bring it to the attention of this committee, but it's only for Africa. There are other agreements, as you mentioned, one that we are currently dealing with Mexico. It's not signed, but the negotiation stage with that. We have agreements with Algeria, Egypt, Gabon, Kenya, Mozambique, Nigeria, Tunisia, Israel, and Iran. Those are agreements that have been signed in the past and that we are now making sure that we have proper implementation plans in place. But some of those were signed prior to the department's establishment, but we need to honor them. And then we're also currently in negotiations with Botswana, the DRC, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and Seychelles in terms of looking at a possible agreement with those countries. And as I say, most of them centers around us sharing our information as well capacity in other countries, but then also learning from them in certain circumstances. It also includes, although it's not our core responsibility, the facilitation of movement against country visa and so on. We don't include it in the MOUs, but that agreement of cooperation is part of the agreement. We then work through our memorandum of agreement with Home Affairs to make sure that we, where there's problems, we facilitate those. Here, that is the short and sweet feedback on where we are in terms of the agreement. The three agreements have been signed in the last year. It's to Parliament for ratification and submitted. We're busy with the implementation plan. The first thing that we did from South Africa side is invite these countries to our National Children Career Expo. We also invited other African countries, but as part of this presentation, the three countries that we talked about there have been invited. In terms of the questions that you raised when it comes to risks, as I said, it is fortunately that once these agreements are signed between governments, they honor it, even if there's a change of leadership. It is danger for us to build new relationships with the new people that are in place. So, thank you very much. I'm open for any discussions, matters for clarity.
Thank you very much. Now, I see there in the agreement that the initial period of the agreement is 5 years, then renewable after every 3 years. And if it was myself, I would be cautious and say it should be 1 or 2 years initially and find out how the relationship works, and then we can extend. That was the first one. The second one, where does this leave us with the working people, with labor?
Where?
with labor. We go and train very good people in Lesotho. They find that labor conditions are better in South Africa. They migrate from Lesotho or from Swaziland or from Zimbabwe and come to South Africa. How are we managing that? Because obviously salaries are not the same, working conditions are not the same, labor laws are not the same.
Thank you, Chairman. Pretty much on your line, your initial question, just in terms of the term of the contract, the ones that have been already signed, what is their status in terms of when they expire and when they're going to be extended? I'm thinking of the ones on your lot page that you already dealt with. If we can just get a sort of a status quo there. And then the other point which I note in the agreement, which seems to be a common arrangement, is that financially, every department deals with its own typical cost in terms of an event. But I noticed that the host country, in our case now, where they're coming to the East London conference, is that we would have to be then responsible for accommodation and transport. Now, what are the implications of that? I mean, you know, there's a difference between putting someone and a delegation of five up as opposed to 20 in a hotel room, as opposed, you know, on a three-star basis, as opposed to a five-star. Now, those implications have financial bearing on the budget of the department, and I would just like to get some clarity as to what's being spelled out specifically, because we can't leave that open, you know. I mean, it would mean that there's nothing to stop a country ending up with hosting 100 people as opposed to maybe just 10 important people. And if those implications, I think that we need to check, because we do, after all, have oversight on that financial area. So if you could explain to me and satisfy me that there's not going to be an abuse of that, then I think I will reserve any other questions.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Kutsun. I was the we say the department for the information. I think that my first of all, the contract application, what I went after the department after me, is the authority to make the agreement. No problem. But then I look at your the document, somewhere it says the president has to sign, and it says once the president has signed, what is time to change? It must say that the president signed, what is it that the president signed, because I don't see anything here with the president. That's okay, I'm just saying. Now, on the case, I think the people and Ghana will be meeting once a year. But Zimbabwe side, what is the situation with the frequency of Zimbabwe? Are you seeing some statements or an encouragement to start the agreement around this meeting? To speak about the document, all the documents say, because it's from the Constitution, by the way, that the agreement to go to Parliament, to be saved in Parliament within the reasonable time. What is the time? Because I see this now, it's a year since they were dying. So how do you understand what reasonable time is? Yes, and this chemical and administration type of agreement. Yes, one can understand with this that we have here. But I was just wondering, that was just a question and maybe more information. This one would not be taken out as administration. What kind of agreement would not be taken out as administration?
Okay.
Thank you, Professor. Well, first of all, I'm very happy that the family has come down to assist us about this. Actually, I also wanted to understand what is the situation between the two countries, Lesotho and Ghana.
and also I wanted to understand that if all the these countries, African countries, are requesting capacity building, is there a plan in place for that capacity building? Also, isn't this this conflict of people that are going to be in this land and such that? As the portfolio committee, are we going to be invited to be part of that? In order for us to understand exactly what are these agreements all about? What benefits are we getting from all the these that an alignment that are done to the country? Is there a space for us to be part of that? Thank
you. Mr. Shah?
Thank you, Chair. Allow me to first apologize for being 5 or 6 minutes late.
Assalamualaikum.
I'm here from the airport here. We have a slight delay. So I missed quite a bit. I was tempted to ask a question in case of the lead of any objective of these MOUs, what mechanism would be employed with it, the grievance of either country. And then my eyes set on there will be a minimum of 3 hours from each side to coordinate the implementation. So that answers the question. But that's the point. Because obviously MOUs have certain values and they are mutual values. As my earlier colleague said, we have signed these MOUs. As I go through some of them, they're pretty much the same. They're pretty much the same apart from mechanism to implement or just basically finish. Question is, each country is unique. Any country that you sign an MOU is unique. So how can we have a very much standard MOU when obviously our interest may not be exactly the same? Do you understand what I'm saying? We are definitely different as compared to, let's say, this person. So that is for me why it's that perhaps we will not be getting values, equal values. The other issue for me is that some of them are signed, for example, as early as August 2011. What progress has been made in terms of implementation of that? Because we are now in 2012. So what is it? And finally, Chair, with the Commission, how does it affect our visa protocols? Because from what I see legally, it's like very general, very general. There's a lot of loopholes there. Whether it's intense, must allow for interpretation, I'm not sure. However, they talk about facilitation of travel, but that is for people who are directly linked with this entire MOU. But what about the tourist who is actually coming in? How does this affect visa protocols, which has a direct relationship with the Home Affairs, for example? Now, you remember, Home Affairs has also signed its own MOU. So suppose we have an MOU with Lesotho, and Home Affairs has also signed an MOU with Lesotho. Do they actually go and see how is that going to be affecting? I'm just being about, not necessarily Lesotho, any other country, Ghana for example. So how does MOU affect those protocols, visa protocols? And Home Affairs, partly for the, does it know that we have an MOU going, so we need to now adjust our policy in terms of visa relating to people coming from that country? Thank you.
Thank you. No, before you answer, I think there are a lot of benefits in terms of political benefits in terms of the African Union and the because African Union calls it the second system as a double problem. I think it is also promising. It is also promising in also developing the infrastructure because there will be specific programs, and then we are looking at South Africa, not in itself, because we agree that South Africa cannot develop as an island. It has got to make sure that other countries around it develop, and then where we are short of, say, cultural events, because there is a weakness in South Africa where they say that we do not have authentic cultural or heritage or what destinations. and so forth. That we may be complementing each other. But at the same time, I think whilst looking at other countries' economic interests, we've also got to protect our own economic interests. And in terms of, say, for instance, indigenization of infrastructure like hotels, we find that we make these agreements and then all over we find there are reticence and whatever. And South African hotels and guest houses are disadvantaged one way or the other. How are we trying to work out mechanism? Because it's a free enterprise, yes, we can have a big thing, but how do we try and protect the interests of Mr. Rousseau, who has got a guest house, Mr. Mkize, who has got a hotel, and then I don't know whether these holiday inns are franchises or whatever, but our own people, South Africans. And then not only South Africans, but themselves as well. We are not going out to Swara Lesotho with our hotels and lodges and guest houses because we can bring better ones or something. So it's those things, how are they changed at home? Thank you. It was real.
Yes. In many cases, and some examples have been quoted, in many cases the department plays a facilitation role because it's not our core responsibility. In many cases, these MOUs start off by a presidential visit to a country or a bilateral commission, and all the partners are sitting around the table and we see if there's a role for tourism in this agreement. I tend to agree with the notion that not in all cases do we want to sign MOUs with tourism specifically in mind, because not all countries have a mutual benefit for us when it comes to tourism. What we have at the moment is MOUs that have been negotiated and signed in the past. So they're on our table, and we really want to honor them. We don't want to just leave them there on the shelf. And that is part of the creation of the International Tourism Management Branch on the 1st of April's responsibility. To see, okay, we do have these agreements, some of them signed long time ago, where are they in terms of implementation, and what can we do to make sure that, you know, we honor what we agreed to. In terms of the visas, we don't sign two things. We take the visas out of our agreement. The travel facilitation is in there, but it means that we will work with Home Affairs, where we know of issues with visas in specific countries. We will work with Home Affairs through our own MOU with Home Affairs to sort that one out, but it remains their responsibility, not ours. So in many cases, if we receive draft text for MOUs from countries, it includes visas, and we take it out because it's not our responsibility, but we will do facilitation because it has an impact on travelers. When it's included in the MOUs around movement, traveler facilitation, it doesn't only pertain to officials, it's for everybody. It's the travel of between the two countries that we want to facilitate in terms of gaps, where can we assist. In terms of the period of the agreement, that comes back to whether we need to sign an MOU or not. The 5 years, I agree with you, Chair, it is long, and it doesn't use the time, although sometimes it also takes time to put something in place, so you only see the results of something that you do in some. So it's a bit of a, you know, catch-22. If you want to see results, you need to give it some time. What we are looking at the moment, and that's why you know, we haven't, except for one or two, I think Seychelles and Saudi Arabia is recent ones that came to us. But what we are focusing on at the moment is to look at what we have and to really be strategic in the countries that we enter into MOUs in future, so that we just don't, you know, sign MOUs for the sake of signing MOUs. But let's also look at the situation where we sign a letter of intent. Not always. You know, we will cooperate, but it's not always necessary to have an MOU to cooperate. They can cooperation before the MOU in some cases. So those are the kind of things that we look at the moment. The status of agreements, they differ. Some are signed long time ago, some are signed more recently. If the committee would like to, we can provide them with a table of, you know, who we signed with when, and we can send that information through. But it's really different stages that it was signed. The NDCE, the letter states clearly that all costs are for the countries. So we don't pay any traveling, we don't pay any accommodation. We invite them. What we consider to do is to host a, you know, a dinner or something for the students that we invite. But we don't take care of the cost. They take care of their own cost.
Can I just question that? I think you're talking about the inter-technical committee.
Oh, inter-technical committee.
It's hosted by each country, according to the agreement.
Yes, but that happens once a year.
Well,
or twice a year.
It's limited. The committee normally is limited.
Yeah, and it's limited to 2-3 people per country.
And you pay for the cost?
Yeah, if we host it. 1 year is here, next year is there. So, so then the again. It was the same with joint commission for my national. The 1 year is there, the other year is here. And it's limited. What we also try to do is to link it to other events, so that you go for something and add this to that. So your flight, let me make an example. We managed to be part of DEFA as economic diplomacy workshops with their region. And we worked with DEFA to add a day on tourism to the workshop. So we present to regions together with the go on tourism. So we go to different regions, and if there's a need with a country to meet with the officials, we will link it to that visit. So that it's not only going there for something specifically, but that we link all across. But with the NDCE, they pay for themselves, with the career fair. The career fair, yes, ma'am, the portfolio committee is very welcome to join the fair. It's the fourth year that it will be hosted. It was hosted for 3 years in Durban. This is now the fourth year, and the agreement was that it will rotate after 3 years. So Durban was the host for 3 years, now London is the host for 3 years, and then the next province bit, and that's how we spread the benefits a bit. But I'm sure the invitation will be sent through shortly. The progress in terms of implementation is linked to the signature of implementation. Some, you know, a lot of work has been done, some, you know, less work has been done, and that's where we have a big role to play. In many of the cases, the work is not for us, but the implementation, as I said, of something. Where countries need more information capacity building on tourism specifically, it's our role to interact with countries to make sure that happens. And linking to the plan, what was, as I said in my presentation, what we think at the moment and what we are planning on internally is to have a week of capacity building, information sharing, whatever you want to call it, program for all these African countries, so that we can invite them to South Africa. We can say, okay, we will have 2 days on grading, 1 day on tourism statistics, 1 day on whatever else is needed and required in the program. So that in that way, the implementation of these MOUs will also, you know, move drastically within a space of 1 week. So that's the plan at the moment. Reasonable time to bring it to Parliament? That's a good question. the two that we signed in May, we took it through the process, and that's why it took the reason why the one that was done August last year, I think it was with the restructuring of the department, might have, you know, fall between the cracks, but I hope that it won't take a half year in future to bring it to Parliament. I don't think that's reasonable in my opinion, but I don't know what reasonable is. But I think as soon as possible. The signature of the President, the process of an MOU is a quite a lengthy one. There is an agreement, then there is a draft text, and the draft text is sent between countries until there is agreement on the text. Then it goes to justice, and it goes to DEFCO, to all the legal processes, back and forth for all the countries. And then the last step in South Africa is the presidential minute. And that's where the President is... the right for our minister to sign the MOU. So before minister can sign, you must have a presidential minute that the president signs.
No, let me finish first, Mama.
The presidential minute, just to answer, that happens before even it is signed. So minister, the president is the go-ahead to minister to sign the MOU. So it happens even before we arrange the signature. We have a presidential minute from the president, then it's the sign, and then it's the tabling. So tabling happens lot. The reason for the follow-ups that, you know, some we say once a year, otherwise some we say twice a year, it occurs, you know, in the negotiations with countries. There's no specific reason that we are worried that, you know, that's why it's twice. It just happened to be twice when we did the negotiation. Some of these we happen more frequently in terms of, you know, in a country you do something else and you will meet on this as well. Or we do it by email. So the one is just as per the MOU, but it sometimes happens more regularly, depending on the need. The breach of agreement, fortunately so far, everything went smoothly and we didn't have a situation where there was a breach of agreement, so I can't really say whether it will work. I hope we don't get the opportunity to test it. But as I said, it went through all our legal processes and that's the advice that we got. I think when it comes to cultural and heritage care, as part of our facilitation a lot, in some of the agreements, and then that's where it comes to the implementation plan, and that's where it comes to the more specific. I agree that the agreement is more generic. And that's how countries prefer to sign the MOUs more generically, but that the implementation plan will then go into the specific needs of countries. And that's where you will see the more specific in terms of a country. When it comes to culture and heritage, there are countries like, for example, the Seychelles, although we live with the MOU from them, but they have a cultural fair in the beginning of the year every year. And part of what they want from South Africa, that's still in negotiations, we haven't found the MOU, is this cultural exchange, so that we bring a cultural group or groups from South Africa to participate, and that's part of the promotion facilitation from our side. So it depends on countries, there's specific things. In many cases, or in some cases, it's career fairs, in other cases, it's promotional things, in other cases, it's trade shows, where we facilitate or we assist. So that will also play a role when it comes to culture and heritage, although it's not our core function, but we will work with the Department of Art and Culture to facilitate that exchange. So we do understand our role and where we need to play an active role, where we need to play a facilitation role, and that's what we do through these MOUs.
Okay,
Mama,
you over there with your follow-up.
I think other part is the answer. But the part on what kind of agreement is not the existing agreement. In other words, I'm trying to find out which are these agreements that is supposed to come to Parliament before the
then follow up.
I think it's a question to you about the cost of, especially the cost of hotels and transport and logistics on the ground for those committees into action. I'm assuming that they will comply with the government sort of handbook as to what hotel level to use and things like that. It doesn't say today, but Treasury did raise the issue in the all the parts of justice that it should be something that should be catered for within the confines of that particular format. It is not satisfied.
Or do you want to add one?
No, I just wanted to confirm, yes. And in many cases, that code has seen the official meetings with Swiss countries. Then we add our issues to that meeting, so we're not hosting anybody, we're hosted by that. So we really try to align these meetings so that we don't, you know, hosting twice or three times a year. We'd be really lucky. But if we host them, yes, in agreement with the PHMI and all that.
Bengu, and then why Bengu is asking a question. I'm not going to allow Mr. Farah and Mama Ong or Mokwana not to have the same. So think what I'm going to say. Even if it has to be already.
I from all sides. We have to follow very closely on this morning. Even if there are tables in Parliament, because currently I'm not quite sure whether that they've already been set to because at the end of the day, we as a portfolio committee, we have to announce that. And the whole House and the people that know. Now, having said that, Chairperson, I think if you then have to begin to interrogate the MOU, then first say we have to have a standardized MOU. Because reading this MOU, you find out with one other country was saying something else, the other country, then if you find that we don't have a similar something that talks to them, then if we fight or make an agreement with a MOU with a given country, or country in Africa, or any other country, this is standardized form that we have. Then, come to the detail of the regulation. How do we then begin to manage it? I think the good question that came about is today, how do we then deal with if there are some differences and we don't agree on a certain aspect or we have not honored certain agreements that are there. The one part that I read, I think, is the first one is negotiated, the top line three, and then we just have the... Now, I'm a bit critical, too, because at the end of the day, you find that the government solution...
And economic interest.
Then we get to see the tension. So what I'm saying is that we have regarded when it comes to that argument, how are these supposed to be done on a very friendly basis? I'm a bit skeptical, but appreciating that what's better than that. I'm also, like you said, understanding from the presenter that there are MOU that have been there for some time. I think I'm a fan. And secondly, I would also appreciate in the annual report or any other form whereby there is indicated that this MOU, this is how far we have gone, on this particular agreement, this one has been in progress, we have gone, we have passed this, we have trained those people, that kind of thing. So then say that we must also act that kind of response. Rather than then say, you're not in our election, not as a court.
No, thank you very much. I think the issue of standardized, you think, the agreement was Mr. Shawar of the view that they should not be standardized because they are unique. So, and then the chairperson said, no, well, it is negotiated and it depends on how they negotiate with the country, particularly on the issue of period. And I think also that the issue of saying that the gap that Honorable Pengu identified, that there are no regulating mechanisms because there is no regulation. But there is a structure to regulate, but the framework within which the regulate is not there, could be looked into. But I do not think that Mr. Pengu is saying thereby we should not ratify it.
Okay.
Mamukwanya has been off for about how many months now? History. But you are welcome. And then, so if you are not having any question, it doesn't matter. But we see that we have been missing this policy. Mr. Farrow.
If I may just, something comes to mind as we're talking here. And it relates to an interaction I had at the Indaba, which I might not have raised, with the Kenyan representatives of tourism, where I managed to sit and talk to some of the
managers. Did you get this?
Yes, I did. And they have, and I think you sort of touched on the political sort of issues that exist between those countries. Now, I'm aware that between Uganda and Kenya, for instance, the running of the villages, Now, it bridges across the trans-frontier issue for tourism, because you can't say, well, let's look at it here, then you list it and it's in another country and someone can't come. And because of frictions between a country and one trying to say that it's our, trying to domain them, they have ownership of it, and the other saying it doesn't, do these agreements actually try to get those type of things around the table? Because I think packages that are sold to tourists overseas need to include the fact that they come to South Africa, they also here in Africa, they need to go to Zimbabwe, see the Victoria Falls, Zimbabwe ruins, go to Kenya to go and see the Serengeti and things like that. And it's not going to work unless we have that sort of common understanding between us. Now, what my question then would be that within the SADC region, there must be some aspects that are being dealt with to try and get that sorted out in the economic cluster. And what are we now doing in terms of trying to make sure we can't assist with the agreements we have between these various countries to get those matters also on the table and resolved somewhere? And could I just ask what is in fact being done about that? Because it's such an important thing. Because if the tourists can't go to Victoria Falls, then they're not going to come here. It's one of the seven wonders of the world. And they would like to embrace that into a thing, but if there's political instability there, and then they can't get there, then they're going to pack up and they're going to go to a European destination. I think those are common issues which we're dealing with, but maybe you could just give some sort of indication that there is that interaction. I don't see it written into the memorandum of understanding, but maybe at another level, at the static level, there's all the negotiations and the protocols that take place there, and that we make sure that we bring these issues on the table.
Well, in fact, the Department of International Relations also has got another role at another level. And tourism is so complex because you've got to defend the home affairs. International affairs, a statement that was made by somebody else.
And
those things and so forth. Yellow fever, you can't see them. Please, and Nigeria responds and so forth. Now that you talk about ADEC, I was at a SAT corporate meeting. SAT corporate is an association of corporates about 5 years ago. There we were accused by other countries of imperialistic approach of South Africa. We see the checkers established in Zimbabwe. They order tomatoes and vegetables from South Africa, and you get the type of thing. But if you got the same standards and quality, I think the South African car company would buy from you. The problem could be quality assurance rather than buying from far away, because, and it would be cheaper for them as well. to rather look at yourself rather than blaming South Africa for being imperialist. Because that is the thing that is coming to now. We got short Toyota manufacturing in South Africa, and if they are saying no now, South Africa is taking over. And South Africans are complaining that China and India are taking over. You get the thing. So it's a struggle in the world, economic interest. Yes. Over to you. Good morning, Ms. Leroma.
Thank you, Chief.
Yes.
With the agreement, we currently haven't gone as far as looking at Kenya and Uganda together in terms of agreement. Where we are, agreement with Kenya or agreement with Uganda. But I agree, you know, once we understand all these abilities and once we honor what we have, there's an aid. But yeah, there is a role for DERCO. There's also a role in SADC. I'm aware that they're busy with an investment plan in SADC, which tourism is a part of. And the tourism part of the SADC plan is the Frontier Park, which ironically in South Africa calls an environmental effect. So that's another coordination role that we need to play. Then there's also the toes of the regional tourism organization that's responsible for the promotion of tourism on a regional level. So there's many, but for us, there's something to keep a lookout for in terms of, you know, tripartite agreement and not only bilateral. In terms of standardization of MOUs, yes, it's negotiations with countries, and they have their standard form, we have our standard form, they have their template, so it's very difficult to standardize the format. What we try to do is standardize in many cases the issues, and the implementation plan will do the specific, but in terms of the format of the agreement, it depends on country's legal framework and our negotiations. The regulation part, we guide there by the state lawyers, the part of justice, but it's something that we can take up with them in terms of tightening that a bit. It's also something, you know, as they get new people, they also change the paragraph they want to include, So we also need to be guided by them. In terms of when an agreement is a technical one, we're also guided by them, you know, to say, it's a technical agreement, and they need to be guided by when we should be controlling it. In terms of the annual reporting on the status of it, I think that's a good suggestion, although it wouldn't be understood, but it's a very good suggestion to say that it's dormant or, you know, just labs or and what we are doing in terms of resuscitating or honoring. I think that's something that I will take back to the department and see how we can factor that into our reporting.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much to everyone in the committee, and thank you very much, Ms. Malan. This was according to a tabling on the 26th of July in the ATC, and then we were the committee who was supposed to do this thing, look at it, and then it is then going to be formally in Parliament, but we are not going to ratify it. But I think our concerns have got to be raised so that something arises, say in another country, then we are going to call you back and say, but Kenya is banning. What is the impact of this MOU now on us? What are the risks and so forth? And is management of the situation coming here, these things available and so forth. But thank you very much. You are doing wonderful work, particularly for the African Union and developing the economy of Africa as a whole. And we really appreciate that with the concerns. And then we realize that you have taken our economic interest into account. And the workers' issues are there, but they have not been thoroughly looked at. But that is for another day.
Chair, I just want to introduce Ms. Petra Panikar. She's been appointed in the office of DG as parliamentary officer. So she started the 1st September. Work with her very closely.
Okay,
okay.
No, Mr. Petra. I thought she was playing a role in her previous life. But she was in the PGIS and very efficient there. Very well. You got a wonderful service. We are going to lose from PGIS. You are giving us a wonderful service there. We hope that you are going to continue with that service in the Department of Tourism. You are very much welcome. So when I saw you here, I thought that you were just taking an interest in reporting on tourism. Okay. So, but thank you very much. We shall break, and then for up to about, let us take 10 minutes. At about 20 past, we shall resume, and then consider outstanding minutes. The minutes were tabled. Well, you must have read each, and then we expect this to approve. So, Ms. Malan, if you want to leave, you can leave now. If you want to be part of the minutes and all those things, we'll also be happy. But now it will just be administration. Thank you very much. Oh, okay.
I'm going to go to the hospital. May and the 29th those minutes were considered by the committee, but they were not arrested by the chairperson, because members submitted their comments and so on in all those minutes. And what is only left now is for the committee to adopt them. And then we consider those of the 12 and the 7 of 2. because when we were in Scotland, we would find the time to look at them and adopt them, but unfortunately we couldn't do that, because we were always coming back from the meetings of the oversight very
late. Yeah, driving time to account.
So we need to make adoption for that.
Yeah.
I agree. But when you're embarrassed, make sure that you've got all the information.
That is the 13th of March, the 17th April, 24th April, 8th May, 22nd May, and 29th May.
And we submitted comments.
Yes, that's what I'm referring to.
Did you take them into account?
Yes. There's many spelling mistakes in that term.
Okay, the 13th of March, meeting of the 13th of March, that were held at Committee Room for V475. The present and the apologies, are they accurate? Did you not want to say that you were not there when you were there? Because some of these things are used either by the press or by your party. some of your parties asked for this, and we've got to make sure that you, if you were absent, you're absent, but if you were not absent, you weren't absent. It's closely managed by most parties, this thing. So be careful. So if you were present or you submitted an apology, it should be reflected. We want to see you in tourism after 2014, right? Let us look at the one for Tuesday, 13th March. Adopt. No, we have to have a move on. Move.
Well, we can see the approvals of the ones that we...
Okay, 13th. March. One by one.
Yes, okay.
And then the next one. Seconded by Luther. Then we have the minutes of the 17th of April, held in room 2, E26. And then... Agreed? There was no one absent.
Okay.
Adopt. Mr. Shah. Enter Kenda. Mr. Fuma. Second. Oh, you had an apology. Oh, second. You can't second if you're not there. It's record. It's a question of record. No, you can't.
Well, I'll second it.
No, I'm cutting.
Second.
No?
Apologies, long guy. 24.
It's a management problem that I thought it should be discussed between the secretary, Makasi, and then Mamuka Mukwai. What happened is that on an ATC, I thought that she had been deployed to other district when she was an officer. So now, because of a question of committee, I thought that should be communicated between the three of you, and then let us see how we manage it. So, let us end up doing it for now, and then, but manage to do the two things. topic and all, because it's sensitive.
Okay.
You know, and then, so please bear with us that I do understand, if you are already not regarded as a member of that committee, then they don't put your apology there, even if you apologize. So you'll find that the apologies are elsewhere in another committee. Hopefully. And then, maybe Huma has been appointed as a full member of communications as well. I don't know whether they clash or it's not clash. Does it clash with us?
Yes, no.
Yeah, okay, sometimes they are on the odds. Yeah, I saw that in the IIM 86. Before we closed. It was in the 86. A full member, not an alternate. So, if you are not in that committee, you are regarded as absent now, if you have not submitted an approval. So just go and fix these things with the whip of the committee. From that time, I do not know that 86. So, and then, is there any problem with the minutes, the 17th of April?
Now
it's 24th of April. 24th of April, we just look at the attendance and the company welcomes. Because the committee room V119, and then we were considering internal business on that day, and then I think let us look for an adoption. The former accepted by father. The minutes of the 24th of April have been adopted. The next one is the 8th of May. The 8th of May. The minutes of the 8th of May, we were in preparation for the Indaba, and then we considered the draft resolution of Internet Chapter 2, draft committee report on national development plan, and draft committee minutes. Preparation for tourism in Dama and then closure. Present, you remember? Okay. Did you read? Okay. So let us get further. And then second. And then we finish the one that we considered before.
Yes.
Okay.
No, this is the new one.
What one? The other one, but the new one.
29th
of May.
Yes,
22nd of May, okay. Yes. Where we were with the Tourism Grading Council of South Africa.
Yes.
And then we revised the committee report on international law, and then that continued in a minute. So, apologies, Karai. No one not after. So, are there any comments? Universal accessibility, training, grading criteria, grading flake, redesign. Can you now make the difference between the new one and the old one? Eh? The secret is that they give quarter or ten.
It was more defined because you were able to tick boxes in order to determine whether you had this or didn't have that.
Mm-hmm.
And in many instances, I mean, I think it's a far easier uniform standard. Although it's not really been applied properly. We've been through establishments that we've seen that are not quite up to the
chief. They didn't agree back then. Yeah, we're not satisfied about this. They didn't agree back then. Conformation. And a lot of it did not conform, and they were not worrying about it. I think the thing is that the challenge they have is that they could create a more credibility for themselves as a sort of creating cartel. But I see that they want a legislation to force establishment to be created. But before we take this, we advise them that there should be ongoing dialogue for quite a number of years, perhaps, or two or three, persuade people rather than enforce a law and find that you close a lot of businesses. And when people, because what happens sometimes, you have a clash with holiday teams, and then you make a law to close all township guest houses. And there is that. So it's you've got to be steady when you take this. So do we accept that Dr. Victor tourism the meaning of the 29 Mama Maka second. Okay, well that'll be the last set of minutes. For today,
29th
of May. Okay, yeah. 29th. The 29th, we're dealing with arts and culture and the revitalization, Department of Tourism, then the issues. Presentation by the Department of Arts and Culture, preservation and promotion of cultural heritage, skills development, promotion of national cultural heritage, assistance to provinces and district municipalities. And then, but let us just go through our concerns. The concerns raised where we wanted to know how the Department of Arts and Culture would be contributing to our education for 5 million jobs and not take it all by itself.
What do we mean there?
Take home. Then I think everyone is the meaning of it. 4.1.1. The committee wanted to know how the Department of Arts and Culture would be contributing towards the creation of 5 million jobs and not take it all by itself. That's how the sentence for it. I think we can make it sound better. I mean, whether they thought that all the jobs were going to be created by them, by the department. What did we mean?
Sorry.
Sometimes we've got to say exactly what we want to mean to say. Yeah, we can have an improvement on that.
The issue there, I remember, sir, was that the committee wanted to find out the actual contribution of tourism in as far as the NTSS is concerned.
New tourism sector.
Yes. What would be the actual tourism contribution to that?
And then, but now it is written as arts and culture. You see, if the committee wanted to know how the Department of Arts and Culture would be contributing towards the creation of 5 million jobs, and not take it all by itself.
Can I put suggestions? The way I see it, Jerry,
I don't have my notes here.
What he was trying to say here is that presumably how they are working with other departments
to
be able to contribute
to achieve it all by
itself. As opposed to achieving it all by itself. The committee wanted to know how the departments are would be contributing towards the creation of the 5 million jobs. I mean, that's in the 5 million jobs appears in the State of the Nation address.
Yes, by the
State of the Nation address. And how it was working with other departments in order to achieve this. That's how it should be.
Let us go over with the wording slowly.
I read it again.
Yes.
So the committee wanted to know how the Department of Arts and Culture will be contributing towards the creation of the 5 million jobs identified in the State of the Nation address, and how it was working with other national departments in order to achieve this goal.
Okay.
That's what I think you are trying to say, taking it all on by yourself.
No, that was one which I could not figure out. Okay. Recommendation.
Are you still with the check?
You wanted 412, eh?
Yes.
Okay.
Since this falls under concern, the committee has raised the following concern. We shouldn't be in any sentence like the manner, the nature, the matter. We need to actually say what we want to say.
You continue on that. The committee raised the following concern and then you continue.
Yeah.
The effort.
Yeah, now this 4.1.2, the efforts made by the National Department, I don't think you should start with the efforts made by. What we are worried about is the lack of urgency on the part of the NDT, that's the National Development Department, in giving directives to the provincial departments to address the issue of infrastructure where the heritage sites are located. So, we are concerned that there is a lack of focus or lack of effort. That's our concern by the national department in encouraging the provincial department. Not encouraging it. I don't think the provincial department encouraging. They should be doing that. The national department should be telling the provincial department you need to do this. Encourage the provincial department to look at infrastructure improvement and development of areas where it is tied by the case. I think what we need to do is don't say the efforts made by. Our concern is the lack of something.
You see, following concern.
We are concerned with the efforts made.
Okay. And then we should not believe that the the encouragement or whatever the expression of the all.
You see, what is going to happen is this. This is where these memorandums of understanding are so important. In those memorandums of understanding between departments, you should actually be having some sort of integrated conjuncture of effort. And that is what we're talking about. But if we say that we have got an objective to make sure that 10 heritage sites have access to that we have 10 heritage sites that we want to access because that is our program for the year. We must go to the Department of Transport and say those 10 sites we have prioritized, make sure you budget for them. What it is, it's all about priorities and understanding between those departments. So the efforts made by the National Department of Tourism should ensure that provincial partners coordinate road infrastructure improvements and development in areas where these things in accordance with the tourist plan. Something to that extent.
But also, Chair, have we gone to them to say this is our area of priority and love them because they're coming from this other
country? What our
job is, it's new program. It's a Africa is this golden economy, that's the golden, it just doesn't produce it here. And the NDSS, the new tourism sector strategy, was adopted last year. So, both are relatively new. But I think it's timely to say that we have to encourage that.
So, we can't leave that off because we have to allow our community
to encourage it. No, we can't.
I'll just read that sentence there. So if the committee is concerned that efforts made by the National Department of Tourism I've written so much here now, I've lost my track, to encourage provincial and it's also local government because that's all part of the IDP. To look at a coordinated road infrastructure improvements and development plan in areas where heritage sites have been prioritized. I mean, that to me, in a nutshell, brings together what should be happening and we should be encouraging to happen. Yeah, maybe all spheres of government then. It covers both local government, district government, and so that's the willingness to go in there.
Got concerns about many artists who died before. I think we need that food. And one person
can I change that one? I bet he looked at that one already. Mm. You see,
415.
415. You see, when we make a heading like committee's concerns, they raise the following concerns. We don't say we are concerned again. It's just normal
things.
So I would say that if we really said we're concerned, we are concerned about the number of artists who died poor and wanted to know how the Department of Art and Culture would be connecting with the current generation of artists. In other words, that we're showing concern about the fact that there are a lot of artists who die poor, which is a fact. And then we want to know how the Department of Arts and Culture would be connecting this with the current generation of artists. In other words, say, how are you going to take the current generation of artists so that they don't end up in the same? That's the wording I put in there, but I mean, I did it along last week sometime, and I can't read my writing. You know, I lost my glasses too last week. I can't see. But that's the effect that I think you want to achieve then. So you're never saying concerned about. You must say, we really should be concerned. Then you just start the sentence about the number of artists who died for and wanted to know how the Department of Arts and Culture would be connecting with the current generation of those of artists. I mean, there's a lot to read about in the paper. Often. Yeah, there's a general issue.
It's not really a high number, but if it happens in
this sense. Very sad, only
because they are you. Because the woman starts singing and all this. Well, I think it's a financial management issue. And then I don't know how government can get into your financial management issue. Because if you don't look after an artist, if you look after an artist, then you go to look after a shopkeeper who becomes bankrupt. Sometimes, once you do something for one, then you got to do for everyone. If you open up a spaza shop and you pay tax and so forth, and then after some time your spaza shop closes, then you are gone. That's fine.
Like yesterday,
those who read Sunday Times or City Press or so, there was an article that was saying that the managers or soccer players were taking about 10% or 20% commission, and then for each amount, then and if you play this match and then get 30,000 rand. But now it's only for the manager. But the way to do it would be for them to have royalty fee and pension. Well, because the thing is that
contributes
when you are when you can no longer do the job. Or investment. But now we as government is not the right person to know. And we cannot tell a person who has received 10 million this year, say they buy pretty flats for the future, so that you will have income when you cannot get. It has got to be his manager together with themselves. Or her manager, I'm going to call it like that. Not he or But defenders, coming back to 1-5, let us agree that we are where we have to revisit these minutes so that we see the sentence is complete. To take them as they are tests could be problematic. Just read them slowly and then you'll find that there are issues that need attention. For instance, the recommendations, we recommended that the Department of Tourism to that law, the possibility of tourism packages with countries like Botswana and Mozambique and Robert. It's already doing it. So we've got to find a way of expressing, although this is actually quite heavy to discuss them or something like that. But let us agree that the 2 years of minutes, that is the 29th May, 1st June, and 7th August, we'll be looking at the next meeting.
And we can contribute as well by just contacting Jerry.
By contacting Jerry.
I must admit, I've got different pieces of it, but I haven't...
More for me. You see, now I realize why these things... Trevor and the company, the National Plan, they employed actual authors to write the new planning committee thing to make it readable. Because it's not everyone who can write nice. You can do it, but it has got its own
English is very good because
I mean, you know. It's very easy. Afrikaans is easier than English.
Very sure.
English is good. No, let us say
he's a doctor.
It's okay for now, and then adjourn the meeting.
Thank you.
I just wanted to talk to members of the ANC about the PA study group. Next week we shall be attending to some part the issue of these spaces we are charging, and then the lack of communication with stakeholders, because I think the issue of charging high fares is a symptom of another thing.
Yeah,
that's
thank you, gentlemen and ladies.
Will you give me a seat?
At 12.